From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Hello everyone, you're very welcome to our Gospel program. Let me especially say hello to all who have been contacting us recently, requesting a copy of The Shadow of the Antichrist, a book that I wrote some time ago on the Revelation, the last book of the Bible. I have been reading extracts on our evening programs of late and giving away a copy to anyone who has written in. The days depicted in the book of the Revelation are hastening on. I hope my book is a means of preparing hearts and instructing minds for what lies before for this world. We commence an examination of the fifth saying of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. It's a simple and a short saying, I thirst. We will be reading from John chapter 19 in a moment or two, but first of all, let me read an extract from The Shadow of the Antichrist. It's taken from my comments on chapter 7 and the verse 9. I'll read the verse first of all and then go on to the comments. Remember, we're giving away free a copy of The Shadow of the Antichrist to anyone who contacts us. Please do so. Here's that extract. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands. Those redeemed, referred to in verses 2 through to 8, were the children of Israel. The multitude mentioned in the remainder of the chapter is from all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. They are those who will suffer for Christ during the great tribulation, for these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Chapter 7, verse 14. We live in the times of the Gentiles. It is with them that God deals in mercy, having rejected the people of Israel for a season. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Romans 11, verse 11. Paul's action following the opposition to the gospel that he experienced in the synagogue in Corinth is symbolic of God's reaction to Israel's rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. Acts chapter 18, verse 6. What a great multitude of sinners have availed themselves of God's grace. The word lo in verse 9 is one that is used to draw attention to something remarkable. There is nothing in all this world more remarkable than that a sinner should stand justified, uncondemned before God in glory. They who deserved eternal damnation enjoy instead intimate and blessed fellowship with God. We echo the words of Hannah rejoicing, The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich, He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He hath set the world upon them. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. The poor and the beggarly are lifted out of the dust, and the dung of their own depravity, and made to inherit the throne of glory. Sin could have made us no lower. Grace and mercy could have lifted us no higher. Saved sinners will share Christ's throne. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. We are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus. What a glorious prospect is ours. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Romans chapter 8, verses 17 and 18. Perhaps you would turn now in your Bible to John chapter 19, and we'll begin reading at the verse 28. The verse 28. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. We come to the fifth saying of the Lord Jesus upon the cross. It's found there in the verse 28. I thirst. I thirst. We have reached the final stage of our Saviour's sufferings when we come to this saying. You'll notice the word accomplished in the verse. That word accomplished means simply completed. He was drawing near, you see, to the end of that task given him by his Father, even the redeeming of his people. Even in noticing that little phrase, after this Jesus knowing that all things were now accomplished, we are reminded that the Saviour was no ordinary man. Those who draw near to death are not capable of clear, concise thinking. Far less are they fully aware of all that's going on around them. But here we see the Saviour, despite all his sufferings, reckoning in his mind that all that had been required of him, he had fulfilled, and the work was now about to come to an end. But in order that he might fulfill the Scripture, we read, he saith, I thirst. How important the Word of God was to the Lord Jesus Christ. In all things, even in his dying, he complied with the Word of God. It had been prophesied of old that the Messiah, as he died for his people, would cry out in thirst. In Psalm 69, the verse 21, we read these words, They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. This fifth saying of the Lord Jesus consists of two words, I thirst. But in the original manuscript, written by John in Greek, there was only one word used, dipseo. What an important thing just one word is in the Bible. Not one word in the Scriptures is to be ignored. The Savior could not die, would not die, until he had uttered that word. And we ought to take note of this simple word spoken by the Savior, set before us here in our Bible by that simple phrase, I thirst. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. You cannot dismiss not even one word from the Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ, during his ministry, was happy to build a doctrine upon one word. Let me read to you from Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel, the chapter 12. Do look up these verses if you have your Bible to hand. and just see that what I'm saying is correct. Mark chapter 12 and the verse 27. The Savior here is speaking. He's answering the Sadducees, who did not believe in the resurrection. Verse 26 perhaps would be a better verse to begin our reading at. And as touching the dead, that they rise. Have ye not read in the book of Moses, how in the bush, that's the burning bush, God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. Now, the Savior here is revealing that God is the God of the living. And from one simple phrase in the Old Testament, he builds here the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead. What was the simple word? Well, it's quoted there in the verse 26. I am the God of the living. And the word is the word am. The phrase, I am the God of Abraham, was spoken many years after Abraham had died. But God does not say, I was the God of Abraham. But rather, I am the God of Abraham, because Abraham had not ceased to be. Abram had departed this life, but Abraham still existed. And consequently, God said, I am. How important is just one word in the Bible? That was further emphasized by the Savior in Matthew chapter 5 and the verse 18. Verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. A jot and a tittle, equivalent, I might say, to a dot before or above an I, and the tiny stroke on a T. Even such tiny marks as those shall not pass from God's word. I must now conclude, my time is gone. We have hardly even introduced this subject. But let me urge upon you afresh to read the Bible, for even the tiniest words in it are of vital importance. These are the words of life, the words of salvation, the words that will direct you to Christ and to heaven. May God turn you to your Bible, and may you read it to the saving of your soul. Remember to send for a copy of The Shadow of the Antichrist. We'd be delighted to send you one. You can phone us and leave a message on our answering machine if we're not at home, or you can write to us. You'll be hearing the address and the telephone number in just a moment or two. Tune in again next week, and we'll take up this study of this fifth saying of the Savior, I thirst. God bless you, and good night.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78-3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78-3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7:30 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here, and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless His word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.